Ones are scampering off. If you would open up your Bibles this morning. Our scripture reading comes right from our text in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 8. So 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 1 through 8, it says there, "Now David assembled at Jerusalem all the leaders of Israel, the officers of the tribes and the captains of the divisions who served the king, the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king and of his sons with the officials, the valiant men and all the mighty men of valor. Then King David rose to his feet and said, 'Hear me, my brethren, and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made preparations to build it. But God said to me, "You shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. However, the Lord God of Israel chose me above all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever, for he has chosen Judah to be the ruler. And of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he was pleased with me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. Now he said to me, "It is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments, as it is this day. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day and for this opportunity to gather under your house, Lord, as a common body of believers, Lord, brothers and sisters in Christ who desire to worship you, Lord, not only on Sundays, but in each and every day of our lives. And as we look at this topic, Lord, of passing on the spiritual torch, we just pray that as others have passed it on to us, that we would carry that torch honorably, Lord, obeying your commandments, and may we pass that torch on to future generations. We just pray that you would watch over Pastor Craig now as he delivers the message that you've laid upon his heart. We pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to hear what you have to say to us. May we be deeply affected by it, Lord. And we just pray all these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Thanks, Ron. Last week, so we've been going, of course, through this series in the life of David, lessons from the life of David. Last week, we saw how David prepared in the leaving of a godly legacy, so that when the time came for David to step down from the throne and another take his place, there would be a very smooth, blessed, and God-honoring transition. And we have an idiom today that vividly pictures this kind of transition. We call it passing on the torch or passing on the flame. And while the exercise probably originated through the simple transportation of fire from one place to another in ancient times, it was the ancient Greeks that made it a tradition to supposedly steal fire from the mythological god Zeus on Mount Olympus and transport it via one runner to another to the place of their athletic competitions. And of course, it was in 1928 that this practice became the preliminary ritual for the worldwide Olympic Games, the passing of the torch. However, the passing of the torch is not as easy as it may sound. As the Olympic torch in the last Winter Games, as it was crossing Russia, for instance, the Olympic torch went out 44 times. Okay? People not doing it correctly. Anyway, as 44 times, and I think that's mentioned because it's some kind of a record in the Olympic torch transportation. But that sort of thing has happened throughout the year. Throughout the years of the Olympic tradition, there have been countless fails through the years. Some have lost focus and dropped the torch. Others tripped while they were running. Some failed to ignite the torch of the next in relay. And many, because they took too long in their leg of the race, they ran out of fuel. So the passing of the torch is not as simple as it may sound. It does require an element of focus. It does require fuel. It requires an actual flame that we can pass to the next guy. In fact, in relay races in general, the race is oftentimes won or lost based upon the smoothness of the baton transition from one runner to another. Well, I want you to listen to a few verses concerning the church and the torch that you and I are to pass on. First one is from Matthew 28:19. And Jesus said to his disciples there, he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." And I'll just leave it there. Here's another one. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Paul says to Timothy, he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." As a believer, a person who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, we have been charged to pass the spiritual torch to another, to others. Okay, the fire of God, the light of Christ, the flame of the Spirit. And it is more than just sharing the gospel. That is obviously where it begins, but it's about making disciples. Making disciples of our children, our family, our friends, our neighbors. Making disciples among even the lost in the world. Faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also, passing on the torch. Well, in the end of verse 8, here in 1 Chronicles 28, David says to Solomon, he says, that you may possess this good land. And I actually believe he's addressing all Israel, the whole assembly here. But he says that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever. Passing on that spiritual torch. And so that you and I can faithfully do that, beginning in verse 9, David communicates the necessities of a smooth, blessed, God-honoring transition. And so our subject is passing the spiritual torch. And we're going to look at a few select verses from this chapter. This chapter, again, gives us the verbal charge of David to his son Solomon, and he gives it before all Israel so that they can know it too. But it's within this charge that we learn these necessities of a successful passing on of a spiritual torch. And the very first necessity is encouragement to a spiritual focus. Encouragement to a spiritual focus. Look at verses 9 and 10. It says, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. David is telling his son Solomon here. He says, Solomon, your life here on earth is all about God and what he has called you to do. That is it. That is your focus. So do that. Do that. So often, I think, you and I, we allow things of this world to very easily crowd God out of our day. We allow the things of this world to become a priority. Now, I understand we have to eat, we have to work, we have to sleep. But I'm talking about those things that we all of a sudden we put as a priority over God and his purposes for us. And it causes us to lose our spiritual focus. And David, knowing firsthand, and you'll remember this as we've gone through these lessons in David's life, he knew firsthand the influence of the world, the influence of the flesh in his life, even the influence of Satan. So he encourages Solomon through this charge. First of all, savvy the Lord. Savvy means understand, know him. Savvy the Lord means knowing, understanding, Solomon, the God of your father. And there are actually two phases to this. Phase one is knowing him, all right? Coming to the understanding of who God is and trusting in his promises to us. You and I, in this day and age, we would call it coming to a saving knowledge of God and receiving him, okay? But phase two is acknowledging him. Phase one is knowing him. Phase two is acknowledging him. That is understanding that God wants to use us, every single one of us, for a purpose, and then allowing him to do so. Which leads us to the second encouragement. The first one is savvy the Lord. Second one is serve the Lord. And David even describes how. He says, serve the Lord with a loyal heart. Solomon, again, your life here on earth, your being is all about God and what he has called you to do. A loyal heart is a heart that is completely devoted to God and his purposes for us. I once heard about a very successful Christian businessman. And he had a business, and if memory serves me correctly, that was worth literally hundreds of millions of dollars. And this isn't an exact quote, but he made a statement along these lines. He said, I am a full-time servant of God and sell such and such on the side. Hundreds of millions of dollars of such and such. But he says, that's what I do part-time. My main purpose is serving God. That's what I do full-time. A loyal heart is a heart that is completely devoted to God and his purposes for us. Serve the Lord with a loyal heart. He goes on, he mentions serving the heart with a willing mind. A willing mind is having the thought process of always wanting to do what would most please God. Lord, if you tell me what to do, if you place in my mind and in my heart a way that I can be used of you, I will do it because I know it pleases you. serve the Lord with a willing mind, with a loyal heart, and then serve the Lord, he says, he doesn't say this verbatim, but we get this out of it, with complete sincerity. David says in verse 9 that the Lord will know if you are faking it. He'll know if you're faking it. He will know your true loyalties, and he will know the true motives of our mind. And this statement reminds me of a passage in Hebrews. Hebrews 4:12 is one we all know, talking about the Word of God being sharper than a double-edged sword. But verse 13 in Hebrews 4 says, "For there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." Savvy the Lord. Serve the Lord. And then the last encouragement is seek the Lord. David says to Solomon, if you seek him, he will be found by you. Solomon, there will be times in your life when you have a decision to make that you don't want to make. There may be times in your life when you have decisions that you need to make that you don't have the immediate answer to. And in those times, you can do one of two things. You can ask for the Lord's direction so that you can remain loyal and willing, or you can do what you want to do. And in those times, he says, if you seek the Lord with a willing mind and a loyal heart, he will give you direction. He will be found by you. However, in those times, you just pretend to be loyal and willing. Or if in those times you just decide, I'm going to do my own thing, know that the Lord will allow you to reap what you have sowed. And again, David knew this firsthand. He knew this from experience. And so this charge right here is really very reminiscent of God's charge to all Israel in Deuteronomy 6:5, where he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. It's repeated to you and I in Mark 12:30 by Jesus. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And this tells us, really, that our understanding of God, our service to God, and our seeking of the Lord and his direction will be directly proportional to our love for the Lord. When we make a decision that is based on what we want, in that moment, we're basically telling the Lord, I love me more than I love you. Jesus asked Peter in John chapter 21, he said, do you love me more than these? And he's talking about things of this world. And Peter said, you know I love you, Lord. And then Jesus encouraged, he charged Peter to have a spiritual focus. And he said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Jesus was in the process of passing the torch to his disciples. An encouragement to a spiritual focus is the first necessity. The second necessity this morning is equipment with a spiritual fuel. Equipment with a spiritual fuel. This is basically having everything that we need to do the job that we have been called to do. Well, what did David supply Solomon with as he passed to him this torch of the kingdom? First of all, a pattern. Look at verse 11. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat. Here, David is passing on to Solomon the pattern, the whole plan, really, for this temple that God had called Solomon to build. Now, know that David wanted to build the temple of God. But as Ron read earlier, God told David that his son Solomon would be the one to build it. But that didn't stop David from gathering together virtually everything that Solomon would need to do the job. In passing the torch, David gave to Solomon the pattern for the entirety of the temple. The pattern, the big picture, the representation. And just to take this to a bit of a spiritual place for application this morning, in our passing the torch to those who are following us, we need to know that the things that we say, the things that we do, our attitude, our love for the Lord, our love for our spouse, our love for our children, our families, our friends, our love for the lost, these will all serve as a pattern to those who are following us, who are looking to us as being the example. David gave to Solomon the pattern, and then David gave Solomon the provision. Look at verse 14. He gave gold by weight for things of gold, for all articles used in every kind of service. Also silver for all articles of silver by weight, for all articles used in every kind of service. And I'll just stop there, but he continues. In passing the torch, David gave to Solomon everything he needed for service within the temple. God was not going to allow David to build that temple, okay? But he prepared everything, again, that Solomon would need so that when that time came, service to God could actually happen. And as we, again, pass the torch of discipleship to those that are following our lead, we must give them everything they need to be used of God so that when that time comes, when the opportunity presents itself to be used, they can be. When Janine and I were leading youth group, in fact, we even noticed this when we were leading kids club. But in these places, we would oftentimes offer the kids, the children or the teens, whichever the case may be, the opportunity to serve. It may have been through reading a passage of Scripture. It might be through leading in prayer. It might be the passing out of Bibles to read from. It might be the passing out of snacks or papers, whatever it is. But here is what I noticed. Some took the opportunity and some didn't. And the picture that formed in my mind is of these kids' parents. Okay, the ones that took the opportunity to serve, I can't help but think that at some point in time, they watched their parents receive the opportunity to serve, and their parents took it. And now here we are in kids club, youth group, whatever it is, and I offer that opportunity to serve, and they did it. Because their parents provided them that example, that pattern. Well, David equipped Solomon with a pattern. He provided him with everything that he would need to serve when that time came. And then he gave him the plans. Verse 19. He says, "All this," David said, "the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of these plans." David's guide was the Word of God. In fact, in the previous verses, we see all of these plans that we now have in God's Word by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and by the hand of David. David's guide was God's Word. And he is now taking what God had taught him and put in writing, and he is passing it on to Solomon. And the application here is not difficult to see. God and his word are the plans that you and I live by. They are the plans that we must pass on to those that are following us. In John 7:38, Jesus said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." We all of a sudden become a source to look to, an example. And the word of God is the plans that we have lived by. They are the plans that we pass on. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus says, "As it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." The fuel in the torch that we are passing on is our pattern of life, our provision of service, and the word of God, the plans that we have received from God according to his word. The last necessity in passing this spiritual torch is enablement by spiritual fire. Fire by nature is closely connected to power. Fire can be used to generate power. In fact, virtually every car out in that parking lot that has a combustion engine in it is powered by fire, okay? Well, even in Scripture, fire is representative of God's presence and his power. God appeared to Moses in what looked like a burning bush. God led Israel in the wilderness by a pillar of fire. God is likened to fire in Hebrews chapter 12. And the Spirit of God and his presence and power was manifest like tongues of fire at the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2. Enablement by spiritual fire is the presence and power of God in our life. And while David doesn't mention fire in this passage, that is just has to do with my theme of passing the torch, David does describe Solomon's enabling by the presence and power of God. Verse 20 says, "And David said to his son Solomon, 'Be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord.'" Now, this is not saying that God would leave him when the work on the temple was done. The emphasis here is on the fact that God will be with you through this whole project. He will be with you through this whole project. Solomon, as you pursue God's calling in your life, you will have two things. You will have God's presence, okay? The very God, David says, that enabled me to do what I was called to do, my God, he will enable you to do what you've been called to do. Solomon, you will not be alone in this. Don't be afraid. Don't get dismayed. God is with you. And to you and me, Jesus said, in Matthew 28:19-20, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's God's presence. Secondly, Solomon, you have God's power. Do the work and be strong in him. Jesus in Acts 1:8 says to you and me, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." In John 15:5, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." In essence, David is telling Solomon, I have done what God has called me to do. And I have done it by God's presence and God's power. Now you, my son Solomon, you do what God has called you to do by his presence and his power. David was passing the torch to a son, his disciple, Solomon. So he encouraged a spiritual focus. He equipped him with spiritual fuel and enabled him with a spiritual fire. And these are all necessities in passing the torch to those who are following us. And in knowing that, I want to close this morning with one last thought. Perhaps it's a sobering thought, I don't know. But here's one last thing I want to leave you with this morning. You see, the torch that our followers receive from us, the torch that they will begin their leg of the race with, whoever they are, and know this, that as a believer, you are being watched. Whether you like it or not, you are being watched. You are a spiritual example of those that are looking at you. Might be a good one, might be a bad one. But the torch that our followers receive from us, the torch that they begin their leg of the race with, is the torch that we pass to them. Sounds kind of simple, but do you understand what I'm saying here? What's its condition? What is the condition of that torch that we are passing? Is it barely flickering? Is it out? Or is it fueled up, ready to go, and blazing brightly? In Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 37, Jesus says, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find so doing." Do those that are watching us see a spiritual focus in us? Do those that are watching us see us fueled by God's plans, God's provision, God's pattern? Do those that are watching us see the fire of God in our life? For we must be a brightly burning torch in order to be able to pass one on. We should be able to say, as Paul said, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, we do thank you once again for just this example of David and the lessons that we can learn from him. And Lord, as we apply that to our own lives, Father, I pray that those that are looking to us as that spiritual example, I pray that they indeed do see a spiritual focus in us, the fact that we are focused on you and what you want for our lives. I pray that we would have that servant's heart that is loyal and willing and sincere. I pray, Lord, that we would seek you constantly for direction, and those, again, that are watching us would see those things in us. I pray, Lord, that we would be an example, a pattern to look to of service, so that when they do look to us, even if they've never served before, that when that opportunity comes up, that they can look at our example and know exactly how to serve, knowing that your word is our guide. And then, Father, I pray for just a spiritual fire in each of us. I pray that our torch is burning so brightly that as we pass it on to those that are watching us, that it would be nothing but a benefit, nothing but a blessing. Father, thank you for that responsibility in our lives. Thank you for the perfect example, Jesus Christ, and the torch that he has passed to us. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.